Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who has got a PhD from Harvard, and she has her own radio program, and she's kind enough to come on with us every month and bring us up to date with the issues that she sees as far as RFID identification and so many other infringements on our personal liberty. Catherine, Dr. Albrecht, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, Dr. Stan, always a pleasure to be on your program.
So what are we going to talk about today? What are the burning issues as you see them?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a burning issue yesterday that burned such a hole into my brain I couldn't sleep last night. As you know, and as our listeners, as your listeners who regularly hear me on your show know, I've been very concerned about the use of RFID, that's radio frequency identification microchips, in identity documents. These would be driver's licenses like they use over in China. We've talked about it many times before on your show. And now, as of yesterday, the U.S. Department of Citizenship and Immigration Services, which is a subdivision of the Department of Homeland Security, has announced that all new green cards, starting now, will be equipped with a remotely readable RFID microchip. And the reason this has me so very concerned is because there is a degree of evil brilliance in this decision. We know, and I know from attending industry conferences and reading their publications, that there has been a desire for, 5 years now, to put an RFID tag into a mandatory national ID card, not just for Americans, but for every person on the globe, to take a little microchip, the same kind of microchip, by the way, that can be implanted into your flesh, placed into your right hand or your forehead, Mark of the Beast style. That same microchip can be pressed into a plastic card. So it's kind of a precursor, I would say, to the Mark of the Beast. And there is a desire to issue one of these to every person on the globe. Now, the holdouts in this plan, the number one holdouts in this plan have been the citizens of the U.S. of A. We have consistently and very vocally resisted any effort to impose a national ID card on us, and we have also very vocally opposed any use of RFID. So when you take a look at the strategy then to overcome that resistance, as I said, it's a degree of diabolical brilliance. I know no other way to describe it. That the folks who want us RFID tagged have said, well, we don't have the political clout right now to go after all of the American citizens and say, hey, listen, here's your new national ID, China style. It's got a remotely readable spy chip, and we're going to watch you everywhere you go. They can't do that in this country. But what they can do is stir up enough resentment and anger over the issue of illegal immigration, which I should point out, the very controllers of our government have allowed to become such a problem. They can stir up resentment and anger over any kind of immigrants, legal or otherwise, and then take those folks and make them the sort of camel's nose inside the tent. We all know that old phrase, if you want to get the camel in the tent, nobody's going to open the tent flap and say, oh, come on in. Sure, we'd love a camel in here. They're not going to say that. But if you can just say, hey, you know, listen, I'm not going to put a whole camel in there. Let me just stick his nose in your tent. Then before you know it, his head and his neck and then his withers and then the whole camel is sitting in your tent and you're in a tent filled with camel dung. Well, that's what's happening with these efforts to introduce RFID into identity cards. And the fact that it's happening in this country with a group that essentially is powerless to fight back, you're not going to see permanent resident aliens who feel very fortunate to be issued a green card. They're certainly the last group in the world that's going to stand up and protest on the streets and say, we don't want an RFID tag in our green card. They're going to say, thank you very much, Mr. Government, sir. Can I kiss your hand as you hand me this card? So they're not going to fight back. The American residents are going to be just like that old.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Carlton Albrecht, and she's talking to us about this new regulation. It's going to require that all green cards issued to legal aliens will have an RFID card in it. Now, as Dr. Albrecht points out, other people, certainly they have no ability to complain about this. And, of course, the people really in positions of power want to have every American have a card, an identification card with an RFID in it. In fact, not only every American, but every person in the world. But, of course, so what they've done is they've just started out very subtly. The people get the green card, and they're just so happy to have a green card to be able to stay here, and they're quite willing to accept it. But what the people do not understand is this is simply the first in a series of steps that will eventually require every American to have one of these RFID identification cards. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right, because if you put yourself, and this is what enables me sometimes to predict what's going to happen, is I put myself in the shoes of the strategist for the other team, and I say, all right, I tried, you know, playing devil's advocate, I'll be them for a moment. We tried to get the Americans to accept a national ID card like every other country on the globe, almost without exception, has already accepted it. But those pesky Americans, they rose up, they fought back. They organized on the state level, they organized on the local level, they even organized on the federal level, and they killed the Real ID program. That was going to be the ace in the hole to move us to a national ID program like Great Britain has already accepted, like Europe has already accepted, like Mexico has accepted. In fact, in Mexico, what they're going to be doing, Dr. Stan, is they're going to be actually traveling to every tiny remote village in the entire nation of Mexico and taking very expensive equipment and doing an iris scan of every person in that country for their new national ID card. You've got the people in India now. Who are not only willing to take the national ID cards, but they've actually got them so brainwashed over there. They've got the Indian people actually saying things like, I hope I can get one without having to pay a bribe to the government for this crucial and important card. So you've got people all over the world, third world nations like India, nations with technological infrastructure issues like Mexico, all the way up to first world countries like Germany and Iceland, totally on board with this national ID concept. And I should let your listeners know that it's not just a national ID, it is a global ID. We know that there are a number of UN organizations working
hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, of course, Dr. Albrecht saying certainly that they're able to get these into India, they're able to get these RFID identification cards in all over the country. And the only place there's really been any objection is here in the United States, where people realize, of course, that this really sounds very, very similar to the mark of the beast that we're warned against in the Revelation. And so basically, they have this global system going in. They are marking every dwelling place, every cave, every hovel, every hut, even with a thatch roof. They have a GPS recording of that, and now, of course, they want everybody to have an ID card. They're putting up their cameras. Everything is moving us towards a surveillance society, and of course, they can justify this. Oh, my goodness, there's the threat of terrorism. Or here in America, oh, we've got to do something to keep those illegal immigrants from coming in. Of course, they could build a fence, but they have no intention of solving the problem. They want the problem so they can justify issuing these ID cards with an RFID in it so they can track everyone in the entire world. Go right ahead, Doctor.
Right. So this idea that it's not just a national ID card, and by the way, I should point out that the cards being issued in India and in Mexico do not have RFID. This is a multi-phase process. First, it's the get the national ID card out there into people's hands. Once they get used to having it, once they understand that it's required by law to have it, once you've overcome that political hurdle with a particular population, then you move to the next phase, and then you work on getting the technology into the card once people have already accepted the card. So that's kind of the progression. The only nation right now that I'm aware of that has a remotely readable mandatory national ID card with an RFID tag in it is China. Some countries in Europe are they've got them in the works. They're putting them together. They're planning them. But as far as mandatory, where everybody in the country has to have one, it's China right now. And we do know that in China, they are working to create the total surveillance environment. In fact, they're using the city of Shenzhen, China. I've spoken about this before, but it's a very modern skyscraper, kind of a very modern city. And they're equipping the city of Shenzhen to essentially be kind of the living laboratory for the tracking devices that read all of these signals. We don't know how extensive that is. We've gotten some hints about that, that there are video cameras hooked up to RFID readers so they know who it is they're videotaping because they can read your ID right through your wallet. We do know in China that when one of these readers reads your ID card, it gets access to a government database that, that tells whoever it is who's looking at you, your health history, your entire medical history, your educational history, your work history, even your reproductive history, all comes back on every Chinese citizen who carries one of those cards and comes within range of a government reader. So that's happening in China. And we've all kind of looked at that and shuddered and said, well, but they're communist China. That'll never happen here. Until you realize that the companies implementing that scheme in China are American companies. That's Hewlett-Packard, Dell, Cisco, IBM, all of these so-called American companies. In reality, they're big multinational global corporations. But we know that they got started here in the U.S., and we think of them as American companies. So they're the ones setting this up in China. The Chinese officials themselves, when asked, why are you doing this, they actually say it's to watch the population and control the people in the future. So they're very, very clear on what it is they want to do with this thing. There's no comment about, you know, keeping immigrants out or any of that, security. They just come right out and say it. It's to control the population. So now you've got those same corporations working in conjunction with global government organizations to try to figure out how to get every other country on board with the same plan they're using in China. The money behind this is enormous. If you can get a billion people to have a $10 ID card in their wallets, and by the time you take that and then all the infrastructure to read it and the databases, you're at well over $10 apiece. That's a huge sum of money. And companies like IBM and Cisco and Dell and Hewlett-Packard, they're salivating at the thought of doing that to everybody on the globe. So that's kind of the incentive. Now, I should tell people, if you've got listeners who are researchers, I'd like you guys to look up something called the Porvoo Group, and I'm going to spell that. It's P-O-R-V-O-O, the Porvoo Group. It is an international body that was that came together in Iceland a couple of years ago. Iceland is very much into this whole government database. In fact, they'll even issue you a government ID to do your online shopping, and you have to kind of shop through them. It's really, really weird what's going on in Iceland. But they issue you a national ID card at birth, and you use it for all sorts of things through your whole life. So Iceland was the natural place to sort of spawn this Porvoo Group. And the goal of the Porvoo Group is for all national ID cards to be internationally standardized and brought into compliance with one another. Now, I know no other way to refer to that other than a global ID card, because that's really what they will be. They'll be cross-compatible, readable with one another's scanners. They will be, ultimately, I believe the goal is going to be to consolidate all of the data contained in them into a single database. They haven't yet come out and said that, but it seems pretty clear that that is the goal. And so what we're really looking at down the road, and let's be clear about this, we are looking at a global national ID, which ultimately will contain an RFID tag, unless the people of the world wake up and resist it. And that RFID tag in that global national identification card will be the same technology that exactly matches an RFID tag that you could inject or implant or imprint or tattoo onto someone's hand. Now, the reason that's important is you could even say, well, gosh, they're not putting them in anybody's hands now, and I would agree with you. I'd say I have not heard any proposal by anyone, anywhere, ever, on a government level to put an RFID tag into people's hands and require that for any purpose at all. So let's put that to the side for a moment, and let's talk about what is going to be built through the green card. When they talk about this green card, let me get back to the USA now, because and let me get put on my strategy hat. So I'm one of these globalists with the Porvoo Group, and I say those pesky Americans, you know, they're always
the fly in the ointment. Everybody else is moving forward. We're cruising along. We got our plan for our global ID card with an RFID tracking everybody, except those Americans won't let us impose a national ID card on them. And they still have enough national sovereignty and political clout within their own country that they're pretty effectively resisting our plan. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure that the immigration issue gets a lot of play in the press. We're going to make sure, because we know that the very people who resisted us on Real ID are the very same people who want national sovereignty and who hate the fact that there are a bunch of illegal aliens in their country. So let's take advantage of that fact, stir up that particular segment of the population to a huge amount of resentment, anger, and indeed hatred against these immigrants. And then once we've got them right where we want them, then we'll say, listen, we've got the solution against your passionate anger against the immigrants, and the solution is a national ID card. And if we do it right, they won't even notice that that's the same national ID card that they fought us on 5 years ago. Instead, they won't see us as the enemy. They'll see those immigrants as the enemy. And we can position ourselves as their allies in the fight against that immigration enemy. And then they'll side with us. And they, at the point of a pitchfork, will go to Washington, D.C. demanding a national ID card. It's genius. It's evil, brilliant, genius.
Well, these people are really very, very smart, and it's the old idea, you create an enemy. This is what Machiavelli talked about in The Prince. You have an enemy, and then you rally the people behind the government, and what's the solution to dealing with the enemy? Why every legitimate person has to have an ID card. If you don't have an ID card, it means you're an immigrant. So everybody's going to have an ID card, RFID in it. You can't simulate these. You can't make them up. And then, of course, when we get your ID card, we can check and make sure it's you and that you haven't stolen the ID card. And then you're safe from the threat of the immigrants who we've been letting into the country by droves, in fact, encouraging to come in by giving them all sorts of welfare benefits and ensuring that they won't be deported and setting up Social Security programs for them. But we can't let the suckers, the average American, realize that we created the problem because we already had the solution in mind that we're now going to impose. I think you're absolutely right.
So this idea that they can take patriotic, American-loving Americans, people who actually love our country, they love the fact that we are sovereign, that we're an independent nation, that we're not part of some big global community of the United Nations, that we want our own set of laws, we want our own borders. They understand that about us, and they're using it against us. They're using that understanding of our psychology, our desires for our nation, our desire for our future, and they are very carefully manipulating circumstances, media coverage, the news, the political situation, and everything else they can think of to take us, and by us I mean the Americans who love our country, and get us to not only agree to, not only not fight them back on a national ID card, but if things go their way, they'll actually have us demanding it, clamoring for it, embracing it, welcoming it, and fighting to the teeth anyone who wants to oppose it. So that's what we have to be on our guard and understand, no matter how tempting their arguments are, and no matter how suggestive their manipulation is, and no matter how seductive their reasoning is, we've got to realize that we are being seduced, manipulated, lied to, and pulled into a trap. And we've got to stand firm against that trap. And I have to say, when I look at the two enemies that we face here, one of them is a very brilliant, diabolical scheme for global control. And the other one is Maria and Paco, who may be taking some restroom cleaning or burger flipping jobs away from some Americans, or maybe mowing a lawn without documentation. I got to say, I don't like that, but I certainly would take that. An enemy that is not going to be destroying my children's future in that fundamental way that living in a police state and a global society of total control is going to inevitably do. So
right.
Obviously they're putting us between a rock and a hard place, but they want us to they want us to say, hey, listen, Paco and Maria pose the big threat, and we'll do anything we can to stop them. Let me give you an analogy on that real quick. I, as listeners to my daily radio show know, last summer I was battling mice in my house. They got in, and it was hard to get rid of them. And finally, I just put around some little humane little cubes, and I caught them in these little traps, and I took them far away and let them go. If I had taken, to get rid of the mice in my house, a cannon, and blown a hole into the wall every time I saw one, I would have gotten rid of the mice, but I would have had a much bigger problem instead.
You're absolutely right. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment, I guess. Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Well, Dr. Stan, you know, I think the hardest thing is for the average American to realize how we are manipulated, but we are manipulated all the time. They're always creating enemies, something we have to be afraid of, and then, of course, the solution is always something that they want. I mean, certainly we have the threat, of course, of the Muslims over there in Iran plotting to come over here and blow up our country, and that's why we've got to go over there and go to war with them, and we're being manipulated. We're constantly being barraged with all sorts of faulty information to get us to do that. And you're absolutely right, the way that they're using this threat of the illegal immigrants to get us, step by step, to be willing to accept their RFID identification card. So Google right ahead.
Yeah, and the fact that this is global, the fact that it's planned, and the fact that it's been utilized so effectively in every other country on the globe, really, I think, should make us very much aware that we are the last bastion. We are the line in the sand. We are the remaining holdouts. We stand between these people and their ultimate plan. And we need to understand that that is not only an extraordinarily privileged place to be, but that that's also a place of immense responsibility. Because these other nations clearly have not understood the risks that they faced. In many cases, they have. I've been contacted by activists in Romania. In fact, our book, Spy Chips, which was a bestseller here in the U.S., was just in the last month translated into Romanian and is now available in that language in that country because some activists over there said, we've got to fight back against our government's plan to impose a national ID card on us and to put an RFID tag in it. So there are people who know. Unfortunately, in their countries, they do not have the political clout and the ability to organize and the power that we have in America. And so for their sake, for the sake of everyone else on the globe, whether they are ignorant of the problem, whether they have embraced these programs, not understanding their long-term implications, or whether they're like the activists in Romania, where they are begging us on bended knee, please, please fight back, please stop it before it becomes global. We've got an obligation and a responsibility, a moral responsibility, to our own children and grandchildren, to the future, not just of this country, but I believe of the rest of the globe. I mean, this really is a crucial, pivotal moment in the history of the globe, in the history of the entire world, in the history of humanity and civilization. And we really are standing in a position to turn the tide one way or another, or at least, at the very, very least, to be the holdouts, to at least protect our country from what's coming for the rest of the world. So when I talk about this green card, and I was talking about the strategy, the use of the green card for the way to... See, this is the first mandatory imposition of an RFID tag by government of anyone in this country, or at least of anyone who's not in government service or where it's part of a job. This idea that you would have hundreds of thousands of people issued mandatory, if you want to stay in the country, RFID tags that can be read from 60 feet away and used to identify these folks is a real problem. And now let me get back to what I was saying earlier, where we're not yet to the point of the RFID chip in the hand. Nobody's calling for that. Nobody's mentioned that. Nobody's even said it. But here's what's going to occur. As these cards become widespread, and as the security threats, like this Pakistani guy in Times Square, as those kinds of things receive immense amounts of media coverage, and as the public becomes more and more frightened of this terrorist...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, Catherine is just saying right now, nobody's talking about putting a chip in your hand and on your forehead. Nobody's talking about all they want to do is simply protect us from those illegal immigrants. We want to get them, everybody have a card so that we'll know who you are, and that if you have a card, we'll know you're not an illegal immigrant. But this is all carefully planned out strategy, step by step by step. And this is a global program. They intend to do this all throughout the world. They should be giving everybody throughout the world cards. The only place where they have the RFID cards is in communist China. But they will come, but they have to do it slowly. And then, of course, once they get the other people to accept the cards, then they put the RFID chip in it, and then they can read and identify you anytime you get close to one of the monitors. So pick the story up there.
Well, now, there's two ways that if, and again, I'm going to be the strategist here. There are two ways that I can use an RFID tag issued to the public in order to control and monitor the public. And that has been the goal of governments as far back as Machiavelli in the 1500s, as you point out. And by the way, I'm a huge fan of Machiavelli. I know he gets a bum rap, but he understood the workings of political systems better than anyone I've ever read. And his book, The Discourses, is an absolute must-read if you want to understand what's happening in the world today, because it's like a playbook for what's going on today. But if you want your population to be under your thumb and controlled, then there are a number of things that you want to do. And when I say you, this is any government that wants power and wants the power to be able to be corrupt, line their own pockets, do their own thing, and not have to worry about that unruly public rising up and ousting you for your abuses. And so one way that they can do that is by requiring authorization for even the most mind-numbing of simple things. They've done this in other countries. We wrote in Spy Chips, we've got a chapter about what if Hitler had RFID. It's called The Nightmare Scenario. And we said in Hitler's Germany, even back in the 1940s, before they had sophisticated technologies like RFID or the Internet or even cell phones, back then they made restrictions on the Jews. They said there are certain streets that only non-Jewish Germans are allowed to walk down. So Jews aren't allowed on these certain streets. Certain stores they weren't allowed to enter. Certain bus lines or subway cars that they weren't allowed to have any access to. And there were certain things that they weren't allowed to buy at the store. They couldn't have white bread. They couldn't have, I think it was eggs and milk. There were certain things that they were literally just prohibited from buying in stores. So that's what they did back in the 1930s and the 1940s. Imagine what would be possible today. And that's where you're going to start seeing, as a backlash against immigration, you're going to start seeing these two different ways to use these cards. All right. Way number one is, let's say I have the subway and I want to keep illegal immigrants out of the subway in the same way they wanted to keep Jews out of the subway in Germany. Then what I do is I put a little subway reader, a little access station, a little thing that you have to scan your card through, or in the case of RFID tag cards, you don't even have to scan them, you just wave them or press them against the reader. You just tap and go. That's the phrase, tap and go. So I tap my little RFID tag against the reader, and the subway gates open, and I walk in. Then they close for the next guy. He's got to tap and walk in. And if he's a Jew in Germany, or if he is an illegal immigrant or someone who's not documented in the U.S., then the subway gate just doesn't open. So the idea is eventually you create an environment that is so unwelcoming to these immigrants that they leave. You can do the same thing. I would say payphones. We actually used that example in Spy Chips, but now nobody uses payphones anymore. But really anything else, a vending machine. You know, the vending machine, tap and go. If you're authorized, you get a Coke. If you're not, you get an error message. The supermarket. You go through the supermarket. You got your line, your checkout counter all full of your the things you want to buy, your groceries. And you get up to pay, and you have to tap your little ID card. And if you're authorized, you get the groceries. If you're not, you get an error message. I'm sorry, you're not authorized to buy groceries in this country. We have the technological capacity right this very moment in 2010 to do exactly that. It would not require very much additional infrastructure. People don't realize, but right now, the tap-and-go systems are being installed in supermarkets, in restaurants, in McDonald's in Nashua, New Hampshire. The McDonald's has a tap-and-go payment system right there on the counter. So we're building the infrastructure for it. That's the one way that you can use these cards in people's wallets, is simply to keep them out of certain places. And we know that IBM has plans to put these things in libraries, museums, theaters, sports arenas, shopping malls, everywhere you go. So you literally wouldn't be able to enter the mall unless you had government authorization on your card. So there's one way to limit who can do what.
All right, well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving towards a surveillance society where everything will be monitored and they will be able to track every human being in the world. Is this possible? It's not only possible, it's coming about right now. Well, Catherine, you're right ahead, Sydney. I share your concern by these things coming about. And it's coming about at really such a frightening speed, and while our attention is diverted to so many other things, they're working behind the scenes bringing this in.
Well, that's right, and that's no mistake. Absolutely no mistake. They know what they're doing. It has been 7 years since I first became aware of RFID and began fighting it, and I'm stunned that in that seven-year period, they have managed to get these things into green cards. They've managed to get them into some driver's licenses in the country voluntarily. And that's the other piece of the strategy, as I was saying. If you're going to strategize about how to do this, then putting it into the cards of someone who can't resist, like people with a green card, because, yeah, you're welcome to resist. You can just leave. Go ahead, protest. You don't have to take it. Go home. We don't care. The alternative to that, or the other way to do it, is you make it voluntary. And then the Catherine Albrechts of the world, who have organized protests against this, and I've done a number of them, can't even protest a voluntary program. I can't say to the people of the state of Washington or Michigan, New York, Vermont, or Arizona, those are the five border states where they're issuing so-called enhanced driver's licenses with optional RFID if you want it and you pay more for it, I can't go out and protest that. They would laugh me out of the media. They would say, well, why is she protesting something that's totally voluntary? People either want it or they don't. If they don't want it, they don't have to get it. But they got the camel's tent in the nose, or the camel's nose in the tent, by getting those RFID tags into any driver's licenses at all. A huge coup. There's your first step. Then
don't
you
set
the precedent, hey, there's millions of people with RFID in their driver's licenses. It's not a big deal. Now let's move to the next step and make it mandatory.
Well, now, isn't it already in the passports, the new passports coming out?
Yeah, but you know, the passport is an interesting case because there was a huge amount of opposition to the move to put it in the passport. And as a result, and this is important, I want people to understand this, there are two different versions of RFID in use in government documents in the U.S. today. There is the short-range RFID in the passport, which is bad enough. I don't mean to say that it's okay, but it's shielded, meaning that there's shielding fabric in the passport, so when you close it, it's like having a tinfoil hat for your passport.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. Catherine Albeck. We were going to be talking about the RFID in your passport, but before we do that, Catherine, will you get out your website, tell people how they can get in touch with your ministry, certainly how they can get your book and your DVD and other items.
Absolutely. My website, I do a daily radio show on GCN. You can find my show at CatherineAlbrecht.com or GCNLive.com. My show airs every weekday afternoon, 2 hours every afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 to 3 Pacific, 2 to 4 Mountain, 3 to 5 in the Central Time Zone. And again, you can find it at CatherineAlbrecht.com. If you click radio show, there's a pull-down menu, and then you can click the Listen Live button and hear it live, streaming during those hours. If you want to catch the archives, we've got 3 years' worth of archive programs there, searchable, and you can find that again at CatherineAlbrecht.com and click on Archives and Guests. And while you're on the CatherineAlbrecht.com website, there's a product link in the upper right-hand corner where we have available copies of the book Spy Chips, which I've been referring to, which really should be on the bookshelf of every liberty-loving American, probably right alongside J. Edward Griffin's books and a number of your books, Dr. Stan. that if you care about these issues, you really do need to read Spy Chips and understand that this is the wave of the future, and we spell out exactly how this works and where it's going. So I highly recommend it. SpyChips.com, I can get you a signed copy of the book on the order form at KatherineAlbrecht.com under products. And also, our latest video effort is Shadow Government, which is the groundbreaking documentary film that really brings you up to speed, 2010. What is happening right now with these surveillance technologies? What are the implications? What are the global aspects of this? We interview a number of regular guests on this show, actually, in the movie. Joan Vion is interviewed. We've got your fellow Santa Cruz activist Michael Shaw is in the video. We've got people from Harvard, people from Carnegie Mellon University, really painting the picture and helping those who aren't up to speed on this to realize that it's not just conspiracy theory, that these are very intelligent, well-educated people, very well-spoken folks who've done their homework and provide the evidence. And that film is called Shadow Government. I love it because the teenage volunteer that we have, I think I told the story last month on the show, but I got to tell it again because I love it. Tiffany is our volunteer, and she's got a young man who's been giving her a terrible time about her volunteer work with my radio show and with the work that I do. And she actually said, you know what, I'm tired of hearing about the tinfoil hats and the black helicopters. Why don't you just watch this movie, Shadow Government? So this 15-year-old boy went off, watched the movie, fully expecting to just ridicule it further. And by the end of it, he went to her and he apologized. He actually said, I'm really sorry, Tiffany, I've been a jerk. I never had any idea of how deep of trouble we're in. And not only do I want to apologize and stop making fun of you, but I want to figure out how I can get involved and volunteer. So that's the kind of thing that when you care about these issues, you need tools to tell other people, hey, this is real. This is reality. You need to take this seriously. And fortunately, I was able to team up with some great folks with Cloud 10 Pictures to put together that film. So I'm very excited about it. You can get a signed copy. I was the supervising producer on the movie, and you can get that at shadowgovernment.com.
All right, fine. It really is an excellent, excellent DVD, and we certainly recommend it to people. Well, the major thing is, how are we going to get people to understand what's going on? How are we going to get them mobilized? Because if the American people just say, we're not going to go along with this, the other side will back down. There are not very many of them. And the one thing they fear is an awakened, and alarmed, and angry American public.
Well, and that's really what we need to give them. I got to tell you, that's what they need. Because, they were blindsided by the opposition to the Real ID program. They never saw it coming. They thought they had us so cowed and so brainwashed and so manipulated by the mainstream media that we would not respond, that we would never fight back, that we would just sit down and take it, and we haven't. So the Real ID program, I think, was a great example for future efforts on these kinds of issues, because it was a broad coalition. It was the left. It was the right. It was the ACLU joining up with the Cato Institute, joining up with Republican lawmakers on the state level. It was unbelievable, the coalition of unlikely folks who came together to fight that. Well, let me get back, because I just want to finish my thought. I just realized we never finished that thought about the passport chip. And so let me conclude that and explain how I think we lost on the passport fight and why that's relevant to the future battles that we're going to be fighting just strategically. What happened on the passport, and they were very brilliant about this, the passport was the very first thing that that the government put RFID into and made mandatory. And what they did, they opened it up for a comment period to the State Department where people could say, I like the idea or I hate the idea of an RFID tag in my passport. 98%, a little over 98% of the comments that they received opposed it vehemently, adamantly. Over 2,000 comments were received in about a one-week period. So they tons of comments came in. They all opposed it. And the State Department was very smart. And again, we're up against a diabolically intelligent and manipulative enemy who understands human psychology. And what they did on the passport is they came up with the worst possible use of RFID in the passport, and they flaunted all of the security shortcomings of that kind of passport. And so what they did was they kind of dangled the low-hanging fruit. They made it very easy for people to attack those security flaws in the passport. And then when they got the negative comments, they said, oh, dear, we got negative comments. People oppose these security flaws. Well, we'll fix them. And then they did. So they fixed the security flaws. And then they said, okay, well, we addressed all your concerns. Case closed. Passports will be issued starting next year. Boom. So you need to be careful because the real reason that people needed to be opposing RFID and passports was not the easy target they gave us, which were the security holes. The real reason people needed to be opposing RFID and passports was because it was setting a horrible precedent using a very dangerous technology whose only purpose is tracking. And it was using it in opposition of the way that civil libertarians and privacy advocates worldwide have always said it should never be used, and that's to track people. So that kind of, I learned a lot from that battle. And what I learned is never attack something you don't like for the easy reason. Always attack something you don't like for the real reason. Because if you attack it for the easy reason, they'll fix it, and then you have nothing left to stand on. You've got to go after the philosophical core opposition that you hold to that technology or that plan or whatever it is, not the easy fix, or they will fix it. So in the case of the passport, the end result of all of that I just told you is they did fix the security problems. In fact, they did a really good job. The passport is shielded. The chip in the passport has a very short read range of only a couple of inches. It is encrypted. It actually requires an encryption key to unlock the information on it. So, frankly, if I didn't hate RFID because I know it's leading to the mark of the beast, I would probably look at that and go, well, you know, that's actually a pretty good application for RFID. I don't have a problem with it. Because from that perspective, it's not that bad. Now, sure, if your passport's open a crack, someone could read it. Someone could eavesdrop on the reader while the customs official is scanning it from a greater distance. I mean, there are security problems with it. I'm not going to say it's great. But they resolved a lot of them. So if you have to carry, if you have to cross the border into Canada or Mexico, by all means, get yourself a regular U.S. passport with a microchip in it. But do not get yourself an e-pass card. Those are the passport cards. Do not get yourself a so-called enhanced driver's license if you live in one of those five border states that's making them available for an additional fee. Do not get yourself a green card, for heaven's sakes, with one of these RFID tags in it, because those are the least secure version. They have no security. They have no encryption. They have a read range not of 2 to 3 inches, but of 30 to 60 feet. They can be read not only by Border Patrol and Customs officials, but they could be read by anybody who works in the back room at Walmart who happens to bring the scanner home, because it's the same exact chip, the same exact protocol as what is used on products, crates and pallets in Walmart stores. So that, I have to say, those of us in the security and privacy community, we look at what they chose for those cards, and our jaws hit the floor, because they couldn't have chosen a more vulnerable, hackable, scannable, trackable, totally open to anyone. Like if Walmart wants to identify their shoppers, they can use the card because their scanners already are interoperable with the card. They couldn't have made a worse choice. And the only thing that we can figure is they did it on purpose, because you could not accidentally do something this horrible, this stupid, this insecure, unless you were doing it on purpose. So now they're telling us that that same technology is going to go into green cards. Well, what does that mean? What it means is that the same scanner, let's say I'm Homeland Security, and I want to set up in the entrance to the shopping mall a scanner to read green cards, because I want to make sure no Pakistani terrorists walk into the mall, right? So I set up my scanner, and I was saying there's two ways you can use it. One, where people have to manually remove the card and scan it against the reader to open the door to the mall. That's one option, kind of like getting on the subway. My second option would be to invisibly and seamlessly, with nobody even knowing I did it, install a reader into the doorway. So now when I walk through, automatically I'm being scanned. Now, you could install that with the justification, well, no Americans are going to be scanned. We're only going to be scanning people with green cards. So don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. Move along. We're just going to install these to keep the terrorists out. So now every person who walks through the doorway is getting scanned. But what they don't tell you, here's the catch. The scanner that would read that green card with its insecure Walmart tag would also read every single product, clothing item, or object that you had bought through any retailer that's using commercial RFID in lieu of barcodes. So now not only are they reading the Pakistani terrorist walking through the doorway with his green card, but they're also reading you. They're reading your underwear tag from Benetton. They're reading your shoe tag from Walmart. They're reading the tag in your books from Barnes & Noble. Now, are those retailers doing that today? No, but they've all expressed an interest in doing it in the future. They've all invested money and attended conferences and been involved in a plan to tag every physical object on Earth with one of those tags in lieu of a barcode. They call it the Internet of Things. We write about it in Spy Chips. It is the wave of the future. They're all working on it. Billions of dollars have already been invested in it. And when they do that, the doorway reader that ostensibly was installed by Homeland Security to track the Pakistani green card is really going to be able to track every physical object you are wearing and carrying and identify you, not only know who you are because you bought that pair of shoes at Walmart with your credit card, but to identify the contents of your purse, of your wallet, the size and color of a woman's bra, the contents of everything. So that is what people need to understand now. The infrastructure is the danger. I'm less worried at this moment about the RFID tags going into the green cards than I am about what the fact that immigrants will be carrying RFID tags in their wallets means for the creation of an infrastructure to read those tags. That means that with full government approval and full funding, the government will begin installing RFID readers in subway entrances, in train stations, in theaters, in shopping malls, in all of the places that we've talked about, and they will be able to do it with impunity because they will be saying the purpose of this reader that we're installing in the entrance of the subway is to simply read the cards being carried by immigrants in this country. And once you've got that infrastructure in place, once there's an RFID reader in every doorway in the country, then all it takes, and I mean literally all it takes, is one signature, one executive signature, one executive order, and boom, we are all trackable because the net, the spider web has been spun, the net has been laid out. They're just waiting for us to walk into it.
And you will either buy or sell unless you wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. And this thing is so diabolical, and the average individual finds it impossible to believe that these things could really be going on today. And they think this is all about those wicked terrorists.
The undocumented immigrants who come over the border, they've got a million excuses. And, you know, the example I was giving before the break was mice in my house. You know, a lot of people look and they say, well, immigrants are like mice. They've invaded. They don't belong here. They're eating the food out of my cupboard that isn't theirs, meaning taking government benefits or handouts. And, again, you can deal with it on a basis of looking at, well, how big of a problem is it? What are we willing to do about it? How are we going to stop more mice from coming into the house? Let's patch up the holes. And let's figure out how to remove them in a way that's safe and sane and humane and makes sense. Or you could bring in the cannon, and every time you see a mouse, you aim your cannon at that mouse. The mice will all be dead, and you will no longer have your house standing. And that's really what they're talking about. See, there's times when the cure is worse than the disease. You know, I'm not going to take mercury and cyanide to kill my cold. It might do it. I'm sure mercury and cyanide kill cold germs, but they'd kill me too. So that's why when people start saying we need a biometric ID for all workers in America, or we need a national ID card for everybody to make sure that you're legitimate in this country, I say, no, we don't. Because the minute we do that, yeah, sure, we can get rid of the illegal immigrant problem. No problem. Imagine a world where you got rid of every single illegal immigrant in the country. They were all gone, poof, overnight. And instead, you had Stalin running your country with this technology. Would it be worth it? Would that be a good trade? And I ask this even of people who are adamant about their opposition to illegal immigration and their hatred of illegal immigrants. I say, is that a trade you'd be willing to make? And inevitably they'll say, oh, that would never happen. It wouldn't work like that. And I say, no, it would. That's exactly what would happen, because that's why this problem was designed this way in the first place.
And I think people have to realize that there are people in government who are actively encouraging illegal immigration, doing everything they can to attract people to come into this country illegally and then refusing to deport them and setting up sanctuary cities and giving them welfare benefits. And this is why when the people of California voted to outlaw the welfare benefits, they got them anyway. They simply said the legislation, a vote overwhelmingly here in California, Prop 187, well, it just wasn't constitutional. And, of course, the Gray Davis and then Arnold Schwarzenegger refused to try to enforce this law of the state of California. When people understand that illegal immigration is being actively encouraged, for a number of reasons, and among them to justify the everybody having eventually to have one of these identification cards, at that point, it all begins to make sense. Otherwise, so much of what's going on just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You got 1 minute to wrap up the program.
Well, let me just conclude by saying, once that infrastructure is in place and every doorway and every subway requires a scan, that's when they're going to say, all right, now you want that doorway to operate? The cards don't work anymore. Take that same chip that's in the card, put it in your hand. And then you've got the mark of the beast. Boom, overnight. When it happens, it's going to happen so fast, it's going to make people's heads spin.
Yeah.
So get your Bible, because it's all in there. And that's the only answer. That's really our only hope.
Amen to that. God bless you, Catherine. Thank you so very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Thank
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, I hope you get her material. Excellent, excellent material. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sydney, our guest, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. And basically, the information she's put out is absolutely correct. And what you must understand has been an active program to encourage illegal immigration. We, first of all, of course, because of the NAFTA agreement, we began to dump massive amounts of very, very cheap corn into Mexico. And, of course, we subsidize it here, and there was no way that the Mexican farmers could compete with the subsidized American corn. They couldn't make a living, and they had to have a means of supporting their families. So we opened the border so they could come north of the border. Now, of course, we do need seasonal work. We had a Becerra program where people could come in legally, work in the fields, and go home. But they closed that down because they didn't want a solution. They wanted the problem. And then when, of course, the illegal immigrants came in, we refused to to guard the border. We refused to build a fence. We refused to let police officers question people about their immigration status. The only people who could really do that were people from the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And police officers often were just not allowed to do anything at all, even to try to find out if people were in this country legally or whether they even had adequate identification. And then, of course, if you were here illegally, you get a job, you could make a good living. You could send home money home to your family. And certainly, we were not actively deporting the people. At one time, they used to have immigration raids. They just shut those down. So we almost had no immigration raids. Oh, every once in a while, they'd have an immigration raid just to make the people think that we were trying to do something about the problem. But the actuality was we did not intend to solve the problem. We offered the illegal immigrants welfare benefits, free health care, free education, certainly all the other benefits which are readily available on welfare, and the people can get that without proving citizenship at all. And when you can get certainly food stamps, when you can get housing subsidies, when you get all these things that an American citizen can. And then, of course, we wonder why these people want to come to this country. They're even getting subsidized education at our universities. Understand, they wanted the problem, because they had a solution, and it all had to do with taking away our freedom, requiring every American citizen to have an RFID identification card. And ladies and gentlemen, those cards are coming. They're coming very soon, and the average individual does not understand It was all planned that way. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoyed the excellent program with Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and this is the time when certainly I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there, if you're in a position to help, will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you do that by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, or if you're not in a position to help financially, then we'd appreciate if you'd pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection. Now, let me suggest that Dr. Albrecht's book is excellent. It's called Spy Chips. We do carry that, and then, of course, we have a DVD on this subject, and it's called... Well, it's Pastor Billy Crone, and it's 4 DVDs where you'll actually see all the films that he's gotten from these various companies that make the RFID chips, or that you use the RFID chips, IBM and other companies, and they're quite open about how they want to have everything and everyone marked so that they can track them. This is the most amazing 4 DVD set on RFID. We have a 4-tape set on Spy Chips we recommend. So there's the book Spy Chips, there's the 4-tape set Spy Chips, and then there's the 4-DVD set on Spy Chips. We do carry the DVD that Dr. Albrecht was the consultant on. It's called Shadow Government. We recommend it to you. An excellent means of getting the information out to others that we are moving towards a surveillance society. There really are people who want a dictatorship in America, and behind them are powerful spiritual forces. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or watch the DVD. Why you need to hear my talk on the secret or the forbidden secret, because it is a forbidden secret. It's been around for 5,000 years. There is a power, a mysterious power out there you can tap into, but you certainly don't want to do it. You're admonished not to in the Holy Scriptures. But there is a power. We want you to know it's there. We want you to know that it has been used by people down through the ages, but it comes with a terrible price. So that, of course, is the forbidden secret. We actually have a DVD. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Very professional, very well done by our good friend, Pastor Joe Schimmel, who actually himself was into the demonic. He was possessed at one time before he became a Christian. You'll find his DVD fascinating. There's a 3-hour version, a 4-hour version, a 7-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. We've got a great book and 4-CD set on satanic crimes. We have a 4-CD set on the supernatural, and we have the book that goes with that. The Beautiful Side of Evil, written by Joanna Michelson, who was deeply involved in the occult. She witnessed hundreds of truly miraculous things, people cured of incurable diseases and tumors, and she was being trained as a sorceress's apprentice, but she thought that these miracles had to come from God. She did not realize that miracles can come from the other side as well, and what a terrible revelation to realize that eventually this was all satanic. There is a power out there you can tap into. Many of our leaders tap into that power today, and this is why they have such great wealth and power and influence and fame. But it will come with a terrible cost. We must understand that certainly God does rule in the affairs of men, but we must avoid under all circumstances the supernatural powers which are out there, manifested by crop circles and by UFOs and by alien abductions, and certainly by the ritual slaughter of cattle, livestock, things of that sort. There are the powers out there. There are the forces. We must know they're there. They're aligned against humanity. Our job is to certainly to be on God's side, or hope that we are on God's side. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, and so until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.